Because would you believe me if I told you I have nothing to say today? Okay, well, I have a nightmare now and then where I don't want to hear your nightmares right now, okay? Where I stand up in front of you and I do have nothing to say. So far that hasn't happened. Actually, my point is that we best not hear what I have to say today. I want to hear what God has to say today. That's what I want to hear. Because the verse that Yeshua uses at this point is, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. And I want to hear him speak to our, and the connection is speaking to the heart. If that doesn't happen, what I want to have happen today didn't happen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And as we proclaim the words of Yeshua, I pray that we would have understanding via your Holy Spirit, that he would impart and implant these things into our hearts. We would not only understand, but do what he says. And have the understanding to give to others as well. And I pray that your Spirit would teach us. We would have ears that hear and a heart that receives. In Yeshua's name. Amen. All right, as you're fairly well aware of, we're in a series, sort of, because on Thursday nights, when we start again in September, we're in Luke. Now, we have accomplished two chapters, which is pretty amazing at this point in time. And we'll resume again, and Phil's going to do some sharing in chapter 3 about John the Baptist when we resume, right? Okay. But because of the number of parables in Luke, we thought what we would do is teach the parables in Luke on Saturday mornings while we're having our study in Luke. Otherwise, we'd be in Luke forever and ever. So today we're in Luke chapter 8, if you would turn to Luke 8, the parable of the sower. But is that the right name for that? Maybe not. Let's take a look. Verse 4. By the way, in chapter 8, the first three verses, not today, but you have to come to our Luke study. You ever wondered how Yeshua had his ministry financed? Women invested their money. Take a look at those verses. Luke loves those kinds of things, okay? Interesting. So, verse 4. And a great multitude, when a great multitude had gathered, they had come to him from every city. He spoke by a parable, by the way, which is a Jewish method of teaching that very few other cultures were using. Now and then you'll find one. But that's how rabbis taught. That's a very rabbinical way of teaching. All right? They were used to this. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. It was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. By the way, that's 100 times the regular crop. That's a good one, all right? This is the good news. When he had said these things, he cried. By the way, anytime in the scripture when you see the term cried or cried out, that means he said it really loud, okay? That's used on many occasions. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. What in the world did they think he meant by that? Well, they knew he was referring them to Isaiah. Later in the message, we'll get there. Then his disciples asked him, saying, what does this parable mean? By the way, it was pretty simply understood. However, if you were a disciple of Yeshua, if he was your teacher, and he just gave a teaching, you want to make sure you've got it. Good question, though, from the disciples. Good question. What does this mean? Why? Because they were to teach it. I want to clarify. I want to make sure I got it right. And he said, interesting verse coming up, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. I mentioned at the beginning of the service that that has been grossly misunderstood. We're going to straighten that one out later. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Okay, they hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Then the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear as well, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while, and in a time of temptation, they fall away. Now, the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, everybody's heard, okay? They go out and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. But, Marianne Mackey, this is your favorite line right there, right? But, see the construction of this, by the way, I got to tell you right now. This parable is also in Matthew and in Luke, but the Jewish commentators get excited about Luke's because the construction is Hebrew, okay, not Greek. Okay, Luke was thinking and probably writing in Hebrew. It's a Hebraic construction, exactly as the rabbis would have spoken back then. They get excited about Luke's version. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word, with a noble and good heart, and that's the Jewish connection, because that was the connection of the ears that hear. It has to do with the connection to the heart. They keep it and bear fruit with patience. That word patience means endurance, by the way. They bear fruit with endurance. Let's talk about this, because parts of it have been misunderstood. It's called, Yeshua didn't call it this, but we call it the parable of the sower. But maybe it should be called the parable of the soils. You have four kinds of soils. The parable of the seeds. Seeds is the word of God. Or maybe the best one yet is the parable of the hearers, because we're talking about people, not dirt. Okay, people. There are four kinds of hearers. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Okay? This was probably Yeshua's first parable in his teaching ministry. It sets the stage for his ministry and the disciples' understanding of responses to the proclamation. It's like, okay, guys, everybody's not going to be enthusiastically running up and saying, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. You better get prepared. Because later I'm giving you the Great Commission to go into all the world. Some of those folks aren't going to like you. They're not going to receive the message. So you have to know how it's going to work. All right? So the sower begins to sow. When the seed is sown, the Word of God is the seed, there will be various responses. Okay? Idealism means that we believe that when we go out, everybody will listen to what we have to say and believe what we have to say and do what we say. Right? That's idealism. That is not reality, all right? The sower is Yeshua. It's obvious. But later, in Matthew, he adds a second parable, the wheat and the tares, in which Yeshua explains that one as well, and he says the sower is the Messiah. It's him. The sower is Yeshua and the disciples. We're to be sowing seed, the Word of God. We're to be sowing the seeds of the Word of God. Okay, the seed is the Word of God. That's the message. We are not called to give another message. Some people do. We are not called to give another message. You know, it's easy to slip into giving a message about Judaism. We're not called to do that. Others do it better than we do. We're called to give the message of the Word of God to proclaim that Yeshua is the Messiah to fulfill the Great Commission. That's the message, okay? And he was training them to do that. More on that in a few minutes, by the way. I'll step on some toes. Give me some time here. We're not called to give another message. Just know that. The soils. They're the fields. Fields are people. Remember my message last week? I hope. They're people. Lift up your eyes and look at the fields. We're talking about people. And in verse 8, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. It's a Hebraic idiom. An invitation. You'll look at this about three different ways today. An invitation to understand the deeper meaning and respond with your entire being. Okay, that's a Hebraic concept, meaning your heart, with your whole heart. Not say, oh, that's nice intellectually. No, it's a heart response, but with your whole heart. It's a wholehearted response. If you have ears that hear, that's what the response is all about. Some examples of that, all right? The Shema. Okay, we're to love. How do we respond to God with our whole heart? Right there is where we start, the Shema. God calls us to love him with our entire being, our heart, soul, mind, and strength. All that we are is to love him. That's what that means. Okay, that's what that means. Do you hear the deeper meaning? Do you hear the deeper meaning? The ones that others don't. That's what he's talking about. Because 1/4 of these people had a hearing heart. Only 1/4. Do you have a hearing heart? See, that's it. That's what he's saying. If you have ears that hear, you have a hearing heart. Do you hear with your heart, or do you just hear up here? You see, Yeshua wants you to hear with this. The issue is the hearts of the hearers here. Where is your heart? Where is my heart? The message can be proclaimed, but not heard. Okay, even to the point of writing a critique and saying, I really enjoyed the message today. It was entertaining. I liked it. No. Did you hear it here? Okay. There will be various responses to the proclamation of the correct message. We have four kinds of soils that receive the same seed. The seed's the same. Four kinds of hearers. The first, the wayside, the walkway, the path. It's hard. It's beaten down. The seed that was sown there showed no signs of life at all. No life. No understanding of the word. The seeds of the word. No understanding of the word. The saddest condition of all is to hear God's word and to have it no effect on you at all. That you hear the true word of God and it doesn't affect you. It doesn't touch you. That's sad. That happens. That happens. That didn't happen to me. As far back as I can remember, I see God's hand in preparation for me. Because the word of God, since I was a little teeny kid, always affected me. When I would hear it, it affected me. I would turn the TV to find movies about the Bible. Because when God's word was spoken, it affected me. Okay? The words of Yeshua, I wanted to hear them. When I was a little teeny kid, they affected me. Okay, it had an effect on me. When the movie came out, The Ten Commandments, I was in junior high. I would take my allowance. I'll bet I went 25 times. Because when God spoke, it affected me. Okay? That's good. That's good. When we take our little kids to Shabbat school, we proclaim the word of God. I pray it has an effect on them. It does something in here. All right? Same seed, but with some people, they're not moved at all. They hear the correct message. They hear, but Yeshua said, what happens is that Satan comes and takes away the word from their hearts. No need to go into a long series on spiritual warfare, right? We did that, on how all that works. So Satan enters in, intervenes, and tries to counteract what God is doing in a person's heart. How does that happen? It's the condition of the soil. If the soil is hard, Satan can actually do some work there. There is no protection, no depth, no preparation. A good word here is preparation. The soil has to be prepared. That's what we do in Shabbat school. We prepare these little ones. The Shema has to do with you preparing your children. Are you doing that? If not, they're wide open to this satanic attack of taking the word of God away from them. Satanic interference of God's message, that happens. Second kind of soil, rocky soil. No depth of soil, only surface, just stuff on the surface. The seeds quickly germinated. They grew some shoots, but there were no roots. You have to grow both ways, up and down. They grew up a little, but nothing down. Okay, no place for the roots. There was no moisture. Water brings life. They endured for a while. They looked like they might start going, but you know, they didn't go. Yeshua's explanation was, what was the problem? Temptations came, and they yielded. In other words, sin. They fell into sin. Sin disrupts the word of God in a person's life. And they were drawn away by sin, because they didn't have the strength to withstand it. Later, Yeshua would say in the Olivet Discourse these words. We're talking about endurance, because that word patience means endurance. He that endures to the end will be saved. Now, we're not going to change our doctrine of salvation today, right? Listen carefully to the Hebraic meaning of what these things mean. Endurance does not bring salvation. Okay? It's the evidence of salvation. When you are saved, you will endure. You're going to hang in there. No matter what happens, you're going to hang in there. Okay? Your faith won't be destroyed no matter what if you're the fourth kind of soil. So endurance shows that you truly, in fact, are born again. The third kind of soil, a thorny ground. There was weeds there. Talk about weeds. The soil, you know, some of you have been on farms. I'm trying to make this my last one that I have, okay? Because these lessons are right there. Soil that has been recently turned over. You can get a big tractor in and turn the soil over. It looks really good, right? But what's under there? maybe weeds, seeds of the weeds, maybe roots of the seeds that are under there that you don't see. And when the rain comes, that's what grows. That's what grows. Weeds can grow stronger than good seeds. Why is that? Okay, why is that? And then the good seeds can get choked. Why do weeds grow so well? I think you'll have to ask Adam that question. He can tell you. Why do the weeds grow in my garden so well? We had a little problem of sin that came into the world. There was hope at first. It looked like there was some life, but it ended up fruitless. Started to go, didn't endure. You see, it's how we finish. How do we finish? Not how we start. We can all kind of look good at the beginning. Are you going to endure? What choked it? You should have said, well, those some things are cares of the world. Well, I understand that, but you know what? Well, that might bring some problems that shouldn't change your faith, unless your faith is tilted a little bit. I'm thinking that cares shouldn't affect you. The problem shouldn't come your way. That a person in leadership shouldn't lose his son in a car accident. That kind of stuff happens to all of us. And if it hasn't happened to you, it will at some point in time. Just know that. That kind of stuff happens in life. The deceitfulness of riches. You know, we think, well, you know, in Fiddler on the Roof, if I was a rich man, everything would be great. Maybe not. They see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart. Luke played on that verse all the way through. That is Luke's outline right there, and Yeshua's teaching, it's right there. Whoa, what's he talking about? Okay, the call of Isaiah in this was to proclaim the word of God. What a phenomenal call. God said, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Isn't that the glamorous, right? All the glamour. God says, go. The good news in this is that Isaiah has been called and sent. He was sent to proclaim the word of God, the accurate message of God. That was the good news. But God says, I have some bad news for you, Isaiah. I gave the same bad news to Ezekiel and to Jeremiah. Okay, the bad news is that most people aren't going to listen to you. What? They're not going to listen to the word of God? That's right. Most are not. Okay? But I want you to go tell them anyway. There are people that are just not, they're going to not like you. They're not going to listen. But some are. Some are. And my word will be proclaimed. And don't let those people that are rejecting you slow you down. Just say, thanks for the 20 or whatever you say, and keep on going until you hit the right one, because one of those guys is going to produce 100-fold. Okay? The word will be proclaimed. As Yeshua quotes what God said to Isaiah, and what Isaiah's message was, he is saying to the disciples, our message is the same. It's that of the word of God, and the response is going to be the same. Get used to it. They said, yeah, but they killed Isaiah. And they killed, yeah, that's right. And some of you are going to be killed for proclaiming the message. You better know that going into this. It's glamorous when we send people to China or to other places, Africa. Okay, it's glamorous, right? They could be killed for proclaiming the message. Happens all the time. Okay, the glamour really isn't there. It's really hard work. Keep our missionaries in prayer. Keep Janice and Monica in prayer, Jamie and the others. Okay? The message is the same. And the message will be the same. And I want you to go anyway. The response is going to be the same. But I want you to go anyway. Yeah, but no, you're to go and tell. Because there's accountability. In judgment, they can't say to me they didn't hear. The seed was sown, and they didn't hear. They could have, but they didn't. Isaiah was to be a light to Israel and a light to the nations. Only some would hear and understand. Only some have a hearing heart, an understanding heart. Only some have ears that hear. Praise God if that's you. Yeshua and his message is bringing light. That's the connection, is bringing light to people's eyes, his voice to the ears of people, of the word of God, and imparting his heart, the heart of the Messiah himself, to those who understand. You see, some understand, some get it. Those are the ones we impart the heart to. People like Ubaldo Bas, who gets it, who understands, who cries out to God, if I can't be messianic, I don't want to be a pastor. We are the answer to his prayer. We are the connection. There are people who look without seeing and who listen without hearing. And the result, they have no understanding. But there are those who do see and do hear and do receive and do have the understanding heart. And those are the ones that reproduce 100-fold. I sure hope that's you. And I sure hope that's me. Because it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be. Yeshua said that the fields are people. Remember last week in John chapter 4? Lift up your eyes and look at the fields. It's people. The harvest, he said, is now. It's not later. The harvest is right now. The harvest is great. He said, in Luke chapter 10, in just a couple of chapters, Yeshua will say again, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. You ever notice that? You ever notice that one? So he said, here's what you do about that. You pray. That's what we're to do. Go into prayer and pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send out laborers. Some of our people have said, he nanny, here am I, send me. And they went. And they are willing to lay their life down. They are willing to do that. And our responsibility is to keep praying for them that we have sent and been a part of. And back to Isaiah 6, you know, the whole concept is we're to pray to send out laborers into the fields, into his harvest. The fields are people. Go where the people are. I think China has some people, don't you? Africa have some people there? Yeah, I guess so, huh? And like Isaiah, you and I can say, Hineni, here am I, send me. I want to be involved in this. And we are. And we are. You know, back to Luke. That's not where the teaching ended. He gives three more verses, which is a secondary parable that connects to that one. He says, okay, now I'm talking to the good soil, the good hearers. I'm talking to them. He says, no one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed. In other words, when your light is ignited, you don't hide it. But you set it on a lampstand. You let your light shine that those who enter may see the light. That's what you're supposed to do, a light to the nations. That's what Isaiah was supposed to do. That's what the Great Commission is. You let your light shine on a lampstand. You don't light it and hide it. You let your light shine. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, or anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore, he's saying this to the good hearers. Therefore, take heed how you hear. This is good. Take heed how you hear. See, that was the point. How do you hear? With your heart? For whoever has, to him will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. That means that the people who don't respond and don't hear with their heart becomes hard. But those that have the soft heart are given the privilege of producing the 100-fold. God takes joy in investing in the minority, the smaller number, the smaller people. Israel's a great example. Smallest group of people on the face of the earth, they are God's chosen people. And what he's saying is, those are the ones. Those that are the hearers, the good hearers, I will give abundance to them. And they're going to do 90% of the work. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. Let your light shine. In the Sermon on the Mount, Yeshua said, let your light so shine among men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. That's the bottom line. It's a Jewish thought. They might see what you do, how you live, what you are like, and say, that's what I want to be. What does it mean to be messianic? You see, what we say and what we do sometimes can be different. What you do and what you are speak so loud that people can't hear what you say. So you reach people by what you do, by who you are. And they say to you, tell me what you believe. What's in here? And the door is open. Let your light shine that they might see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven, and that you might reproduce 100-fold. We sow the seed everywhere. Let's do that. Thank you, Lord, for those in our congregation who have responded by saying, here am I, send me. And I pray, Lord, you would bless them and honor that commitment. It's a hardship on some. a difficult time and they're faced with difficult things, with rejection. Lord, I pray we would keep Janice in prayer, Monica in prayer, and others who are going soon, that we would realize that those of us who stay behind in support have a responsibility to be intercessors for them. They're representing us as well as you. I pray we would be mindful to lift them up in prayer and pray that they would touch the lives of others, that their fruit would be 100-fold. And when they come back, there would be opportunities in the future for others to go as well. Open doors, I pray, in places where we've been told the doors are shut and closed to the gospel. I pray these very leaders would have an openness and a wantingness and a willingness to hear, that they would have ears that hear. When they hear the truth of the Word of God, their heart would be softened and received, and they would be transformed and born again in Yeshua's name. Amen.